I've been studying revival history for 20 years. I've been saying to God since I was 17 years old, God, make me a revivalist like Evan Roberts from the Welsh Revival.
Holy, you are still holy, even when the darkness surrounds my life.
God, whatever it takes, take me through anything you like. God, I want to be a revivalist like that. Where he would preach and entire rooms would be full of weeping people. Where preachers could not speak for the cries of the people so loud, repenting before God. The cries of the people drowning out the voice of a preacher. That is revival. We don't think of it that way, do we? Charles Finney, over 100 years ago, listen, he preached sermons that would literally peel the paint off the walls. He was a John the Baptist preacher, and the thing I've noticed about revival in America, God wants to bring these John the Baptists every time, and unless they come preaching this piercing message, there ain't no revival. He brought Jonathan Edwards along. Jonathan Edwards is famous for preaching a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was so powerful. He'd been praying all night the night before. He said, God, let eternity be in my eye. And the people were hanging onto the pews and the pillars of the church because they saw hell opening up beneath them as he was preaching. And they were crying out. And it says he had to ask them for silence that he could be heard. Wesley, who was another great revivalist in England, was thrown out of his own church and he could not find a pulpit anywhere in the country to preach on. He had to preach on his father's grave. What will the church of today do when the John the Baptist arise and say, it's all a facade, I don't believe in anything you do? Do you think they might say that kind of thing? I think they might. I think they might say, most of the people in the church are wearing masks. Most of them are pretend Christians. They fell away from Jesus being utterly alive in the depths of their being years ago. They don't live that way. But they'll clap their hands and raise their hands. What if the John the Baptist come preaching that? What on earth is the church going to do to the John the Baptist? You know, he lasted 6 months. You know, the religious authorities, they hated his guts. And finally, Herod had him beheaded 6 months into his ministry. Jesus lasted 3.5 years. he would have crowds trying to throw him off a cliff. And it says he walked through their midst and was not harmed by them. Because they hated his guts because of what he spoke to them. It challenged everything about themselves, every high and lofty thought that they thought about themselves. He would bring it to the dirt and say, "You're not sons of Abraham at all. You're the children of your father, the devil. Look at your behavior. Look at the way you act. Look at the way you speak. Everything in the hidden place shows that you're false." When you confront people with sin,
they want to kill you. They want to kill you.
Or they want to repent. Or they want to repent.
I don't love you like I used to. When nothing came between my God and me. And somehow it seems I've lessened my dependence. And wonder why it's not the way it used to be. But I'm ready to learn how to faithfully love you. With my heart, my soul, my mind. Take me back
to
the time I fell in love.
In the book of Acts, they did this. They repented and they were baptized and they received the Holy Spirit. And until those three things had happened, nobody was satisfied. And in fact, they'd do them right in the middle of the night. They'd say, "Excuse me, sir, you are repentant. And I can tell that you are. Come and be baptized now." The jailer of Paul was baptized in the middle of the night. The Ethiopian who was passing by, remember, who was in the chariot? Philip was, or the Ethiopian was? The Ethiopian was, that's right. He got baptized straight away. Why? Because you got to deal with sin fully. And you don't muck around with things like that because it'll kill you. It'll kill you. And if you don't have the full experience, man, if you aren't repenting and getting baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit, the whole nine yards filled to here, to overflowing with the Spirit of God, I don't believe you'll last. In those days, I would say they would not even consider you to be part of them yet. They would say, "These people are inadequate under God. We've got to get them," you know. You see it all the way through the book of Acts, from beginning to end. Repent, be baptized. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
I don't love you like I used to. When nothing came between my God and me.
What's going to happen on Judgment Day when we have churches utterly full of people who ain't Christians at all going up to Jesus and saying, "Hi God, it's me." And what does it say in Scripture? "Depart from me, I never knew you at all. Depart from me, I never knew you at all." How many thousands and millions is the church turning into false Christians today? Let's go deeper than that even. Let's say in our Pentecostal charismatic churches, of which we're all proudly a part, how many of the people in our pews are actually walking with God? And when they get to Judgment Day, their robes will be clean. How many?
With my heart, my soul, my mind. Take
me put this before you. The Bible very clearly shows that Jesus, at the very end, is incredibly angry. The Bible clearly shows that we will not be coming up in front of one of those judges who is really bored with the day and is kind of yawning his way through the day. You know, I don't know if you can picture this, but you know when you've been called up in front of the judge for maybe a little traffic offense? And you're going in there, you're pretty confident. You think, oh, well, you know, it's just such a minor offense. I don't even know why I'm here for, but it'll probably be like a $70 fine or something like that. And you walk into the courtroom, and you just happen to look up at the judge, and for some weird reason, that guy is in a hell of a mood. And you're just looking at it. It's almost like he can't bear to speak. Something has made him so angry. And you're thinking to yourself, what is this guy going to do to, I mean, what is the maximum penalty for that infringement I did? Because this guy looks furious and he's going to throw the book at me. Hello? It says the same about Jesus on the last day. We just think we've got the Santa Claus Jesus who blesses us with abundance and gives us all this stuff and everything's so lovely and we can just smile our Colgate smile and carry right on. But what happens when we get there and we find that the judge is not amused? And it says all of the wrath has been saved for the end. What happens when we get in front of someone like that and we're just kind of, we've been meandering our way through life. Man, we paid our tithes and we went to church, but I mean, what is this guy going to do to me? Most of the church is sick because we never preach the gospel. Charles Finney, if he saw our gospel, wouldn't know whether to laugh or cry. It ain't no gospel to him. Come to Jesus. He'll give you a more adventurous life. Come to Jesus. He'll make you happy. Come to Jesus. You'll get another fake Colgate smile like me. It's a Santa Claus load of garbage, and it's not going to save us when it most counts. Did you know that nothing else matters in the world but this? That on the day of judgment, he says these words to you. Well done, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Isn't that amazing? What a shocking scripture. You mean these guys who have been casting out demons, performing miracles, speaking in tongues on television, getting a whole truckload of money while they're doing it, building $2 million houses by the lake? You mean those guys are going to end up with that kind of treatment? I believe so. What will happen to preachers on that day who have preached to 95% of the truth and never went to 100% because they could see the people with the money in their congregation walking out the door in their mind's eye? What's God going to do to them? Why is it a fearful thing to be a teacher in the house of God? What happens when God lines up a whole lot of preachers and just kills them all in front of everybody, just like he killed Ananias and Sapphira, and fear came upon the whole church? What happens, man? We don't believe in a God like that, do we? It's always been Santa Claus, hasn't it? what's he going to do to you? If he finds you in the state of your heart that you're in now. He doesn't care about outward appearances at all. I'm talking about the state of your heart. What is that sin that you've been clinging to? What is it, people? What is that thing that you once had a white robe and it's spotted? There's something on it. God can see it. The devil can see it. Humans around you can't. It's a secret sin. Nobody even knows, or hardly anybody. Maybe a couple of family members know about it. You don't show it to anybody. You walk in these doors and you're faking it real good. Are you a Christian? You're going to survive Judgment Day in front of a judge like that? Really? You think you are? You think you are? What will your sin do to you in that day? This is how much God hates sin. He sent Jesus to go through the passion to get rid of it. That's how much he cannot stand sin. He allowed his precious lamb to be slaughtered, to be whipped to an inch of his life, to have the flesh torn off his back, to have a crown of thorns stuffed on his head, pain unbearable. That's how much God hates sin. If he finds it in you, he will put you as far from himself as he can. We have one remedy in the Christian faith. We have one remedy. It's simply this: put on Christ. The only thing God respects, the only thing God can look at and say, yes, there is purity. Yes, there is absolute righteousness, is Jesus. You either put on him, that white robe, you're either wearing that on that day, or you are an absolute goner. You will regret every day that you spend living. Because there's no important thing in the world than this: well done, good and faithful servant. Nothing else matters. Nothing in the world. It's all garbage. So I appeal to those people in this room who've been playing games with God. I appeal to the people in the room who are kind of pretend Christians, who have sin in their heart, and they behold it, and God beholds it, and everybody knows it, except the people around you, because you're faking it really good. I appeal to all of you to repent, because you get few chances in this life to repent before God, and if you leave it, it will kill you. It will kill you.